Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Chav Ches, Chapter 28. This perek is the third in the series that addresses the destruction of Tzor, which is the ancient Phoenician city of Tyre. This perek does not discuss the city or its wealth, but instead has a kina, a lamentation for its ruler. The perek first talks about the prince of Tzor and his downfall, followed by a discussion of the sin and downfall of the king of Tzor. The perek then transitions to talking about the demise of Sidon, the city-state north of Tzor that was its rival Phoenician city, before ending with a few psukim of nechama, comfort for the Jewish people. This perek's focus on the monarch of Tzor opens an interesting debate. First, there are two terms used in the perek to refer to the leader of the island state. It calls him Nagid, which means prince, and Melech, which means king. Some Mefarshim, such as the Abarbanel and Malbim, say that there were two different political roles governing the nation. According to the Abarbanel, initially there was a Nagid, an administrator to manage city affairs. The city had a ruling class, and day-to-day operations were handled by this Nagid. After Nebuchadnezzar attacked and defeated Tzor, the city needed to have one ruler who could make quick decisions when needed to better manage the city's defenses. The position of king was begun and lasted until Alexander the Great's final attack and destruction. Other Mefarshim use the term Nagid and Melech interchangeably and say this kina is addressed to one person. Another interesting debate that comes up in this perek is who exactly is the ruler of Tzor being addressed here. The Midrash gives a number of suggestions. One suggestion is that the chira mentioned in our perek is the same individual who ruled at the time of Shlomo. His longevity that made him outlive 21 kings went to his head. Another suggestion is that Hiram was brought into Gan Eden alive after the time of Shlomo in reward for his contributions to the Beis HaMikdash, and he was there for 400 years. In the end, he became arrogant because of his prominence, so he was kicked out of Gan Eden and sent to Gehenim. Still, other Mefarshim say that Hiram was just a descendant of the original king of Tzor. Other Midrashim give us a flavor of the man. They highlight his poor character that brought an end to what was an auspicious beginning. As a reward for his contribution to the Mikdash, Hashem gave him unimaginable wealth and security. When Hashem blessed Avraham, he said, "I am dust, anochi afar ve'efer." Avraham Avinu maintained his perspective about his status in relation to Hashem. In contrast, Hiram says in Pasuk Beis, "Moshav Elokim yashafti b'lev yamim. I sit enthroned like a god in the heart of the sea." According to a different medrash, with his inflated sense of self, Hiram built a fantastic palace meant to replicate the seven heavens of Hashem, with each level of the palace mirroring Hashem's creation. This palace, says the Yalkut Shimoni, was such a masterpiece that it could not remain in this world. It has been hidden away to be given to the tzaddikim in the world to come. What do these midrashim mean? How is it possible for Hiram to remain alive for 400 years? There are other people in Tanakh who are described as living for a very long time. The Gemara tells us that Bilam is Lavan. Micha, in the time of David, lived in Egypt. Paro from the Exodus showed up with Yonah as the king of Nineveh. There are a few options. One, the Midrash can be taken literally, which would mean that in this case there was a miracle done for a specific goal. Two, many commentators note that this is not to be meant to be taken literally. The Midrash is using a literary device to point out that these individuals share a common personality trait that connects one to the other. Third, saying they are the same character provides a continuity to the story. The events of the first person with that name cause the events that we see later. For our purposes, I would like to look at Hiram as an individual who has an unfortunate character flaw that manifests itself in each generation. This flaw also represents how his nation perceived itself. Though Hiram initially made correct decisions, this led to gaiva, arrogance, which caused his downfall. The pasuk begins talking to the Nagid of Tzor and says the root of his minced steeds, Yan gava libcha, because you were haughty and said you were like a god in the heart of the sea, Vata adam vlokel, you are like a man and not a god, Vatitain libcha kilev elokim, but you put your heart like the heart of God. The Malbim defines haughtiness as a person believing they are more than who they are. This character flaw is at the root of many abhorrent behaviors and does not allow a person to humble themselves before Hashem. In the case of Hiram, he became so arrogant as the administrator of so much wealth that he thought he was God in the flesh. The pasuk questions his self-assessment. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Hinei chachama tami Daniel. Behold, are you wiser than Daniel? During the Galus, Daniel told a nevuah for Nebuchadnezzar, who then wanted to deify him, but Daniel refused this honor. The psukim continue that Hiram's wealth did not come because of superior intelligence, creativity, or magic, but only because Tzur was lucky with trade. There will be a punishment for this arrogance. Since Hiram made himself a god, Pasuk Zion, verse 7, Vachen hineni mevi alacha zarim aritzei goyim. Therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, the terrible one of the nations. A foreign nation, the Kastim, will come and destroy Hiram with cruelty, despite his wealth, and they will take that thing that makes him special. They will kill him in the middle of the sea. The Navi asks with irony in Pasuk Tes, verse 9, He'amor tomar Elokim ani lifnei hargecha? Are you going to say that I am a god before the ones who kill you? Vata adam v'lo kel biad mechalalecha. But you are a man, not God, in the hands of those that defile you. It would be ridiculous to claim any powers of a deity given the extent of their destruction. Yet that is what they have done, as no one has contested their self-delusions. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11, starts a new nevuah, a kina for the king of Tzur, who many say is different than the Nagid in the beginning of the parak, though some say it is the same person. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13, it tells us, the Eden Gan Elokim Hayisa, you were in Eden, the garden of Hashem. The Medrash takes this pasuk literally and tells us that Hiram was brought to Gan Eden alive before his arrogance caused him to be expelled. The Targum interprets this pasuk metaphorically. Tzur was a paradise for its kings with no limits on his pleasure. Its walls were covered with jewels, and Hiram could afford to have musicians create instruments and play during leisure time. The Gemara reads this phrase rhetorically. Just as it asks Hiram if he was as great as Daniel, it asks him if he was as great as Adam. Were you ever in Gan Eden, it queries, surrounded by a chuppah of the most precious stones that allows you to be so arrogant? Pasuk Yudalid, verse 14. The Navi gives Hiram Musar, rebuke for his attitude and behavior. You were anointed as a kruv, a cherub, you on the holy mountain of Hashem, as you donated the finest materials to its construction. Hiram was elevated, Elohim Hayisa, you became like a god, as Hashem gave him every advantage as he had helped build the Mikdash. He had such a beautiful friendship with Shlomo and David. Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, Tamim ata b'drachecha, you were perfect in your ways. Miyom hibarach ad nimsa avlasav bach. From the day you were created till unrighteousness was found in you. Hiram had acted properly at the beginning of his reign until the character trait of arrogance found its way into his personality, undermining everything he had done. The change happened when he and his nation transformed. When his city became filled with commerce and traffic, he became violent, controlling, and sinned to maintain his power. He took great pride in his beauty, which was outside of his control. Hashem had no choice but to throw him out of the relationship where he was close to Har Hashem. The merit of building the Beis HaMikdash could no longer help him, and he would face shame as a consequence for his arrogance. Hiram's final sin, which brought his complete destruction, is discussed in Pasuk Yudches, verse 18, Chilalta Mikdashecha, you have profaned your sanctuaries. The Malbim explains that because Hiram was happy at the destruction of the Mikdash he built, he would suffer Mida Keneged Mida with a fitting consequence. His nation and its buildings would be completely destroyed with only ashes remaining of its marvelous edifices. Rashi adds an even more tragic dimension to our understanding of this pasuk. Within Hiram himself was the potential for himself to become a mikdash, a sanctified place. He could have had transformed himself into greatness. Because he did not, he lost everything. He could have been an example for everyone on earth how Hashem only wants to do good for every human being in this world. If we would only use what we are given correctly, Hashem would give people all the luxuries in the world for man to use in divine service. Since Hiram misused these gifts, they were destroyed, and this lesson was lost on the world. This kina from Melech Tzur ends in Pasuk Yotes in verse 19 with the words taken from the last parak. Kol yodecha ba'amim shamamu alecha. All who know you among the nations will be appalled over you. Balos hayisa ve'encha ad olam. You have become a terror, and you shall never be anymore. The downfall of Hiram Mansour will be a source of astonishment for all who knew his strength and power. We now move to the next section of the Perek. Psukim Chaf to Chaf Gimel, verses 20-23, is a new nevuah regarding Sidon. Sur is sometimes partner, sometimes rival to the north. Hashem promises to send Dever and Dom, pestilence and blood, as there will be so many killed that there will be Dom flowing in that city. It does not mention that Sidon sinned as it did with Sur or with the four nations mentioned in Perek Chaf Hei, chapter 25. The Mefarshim also do not point to any obvious reason for this new nevuah. Hashem promises to punish Sidon, and through this harsh punishment, Sidon will know Hashem. And Pasuk Chafayz, verse 22, V'nikdashti va, I will be made holy in her. In Pasuk Chafdalad, verse 24, there is a slight hint as to why Sidon is being punished. V'lo yet od leves Yisrael, Silon mam'ir v'kotz mach'iv mikol svivosam. And there will not be any more prickering briar or piercing thorn for the house of Israel. The Malbim tells us that Sidon were bad neighbors and made life difficult for the Jewish nation, so they deserved the destruction. After describing all the punishments for the other nations, Yechezkel now turns to Bnei Yisrael with comfort. Pasuk Chaf Hei, verse 25, V'kabtzi es beis Yisrael min ha'amim asher nafotzu vam. When I gather the house of Israel from the people among whom they are gathered, V'nikdashti vam le'enei ha'goyim, I will be sanctified in them in the sight of the nations, V'yashvu al admasam asher nasati l'avdi la'yakov, and they will dwell in their own land, which I gave to my servant Yaakov. Hashem is promising that in the future, these nations will not hurt the Jewish people again. Rashi adds that the Jewish people will be given a land with no borders and will spread out in all directions. When they do, we will have what is our dream. Pasuk Chavav, verse 26, V'yashvu alaha levetach, and they shall dwell safely therein. Uvanu vatim v'natu kramim v'yashvu levetach, and they will build homes and plant vineyards, and they will sit safely. Unlike Hiram in the future when we are given gifts, we will not become arrogant or use them to hurt others. We will cherish the opportunity just to live securely so that we can live simply and listen to Hashem. In this parak, we learned of the harsh punishment awaiting Hiram, the king of Sur, as he chose to view his gifts as reflecting on his own intelligence rather than recognizing them as gifts of Hashem. He lost the opportunity to use the merits he earned when he built the Beis HaMikdash by not using the reward of wealth for positive action. Because he was arrogant, he and his nation needed to be destroyed, as there is no cure for haughtiness. The Perek then spoke about the destruction of Sidon and ended with a promise that Jewish people will once again return to Israel and this time to be able to live in safety. Thank you for studying together L'Iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther Basvi Yosef.